The polka from Sir Hamilton Harty's John Field Suite, performed by the Ulster Orchestra, conducted there by Bryden Thompson. You may like to know that there's now a weekly download of Private Passions. You can go to the Radio 3 homepage and follow the link from there. Meanwhile, next Sunday at the same time, Michael Barclay's guest will be Rufus Wainwright. Private Passions was produced by Jane Greenwood, and it's a Loftus production for BBC Radio 3.
Beethoven's Choral Symphony in Radio 3 live in concert. The City of Birmingham Symphony Orchestra's Beethoven cycle reaches its climax on BBC Radio 3, live from Symphony Hall. Thursday night at 7:30 on BBC Radio 3.
Well, back to today. A very good afternoon to you. Welcome along to Radio 3 if you've recently tuned this way. I'm Ian Skelly, here to guide you through our programmes this afternoon. In just a couple of minutes, we're off to Bath to this year's festival and a concert given by Florilegium. And then at 2 to another festival, ongoing at the moment, the Aldborough Festival. A concert given last night, in fact, by the Birmingham Contemporary Music Group, who performed with this year's artistic director, the pianist Pierre-Laurent Aymar. The conductor of the concert's also no stranger to the Aldborough Festival, Oliver Nusson. That's all at 2 o'clock this afternoon here on Radio 3. But before all that, let's catch up on the BBC News this lunchtime. It's read by David Cornett.
The US whistleblower Edward Snowden, who revealed details of secret American and British surveillance programmes, has fled Hong Kong. The American authorities have charged him with espionage, but Hong Kong said the US extradition request did not comply fully with the law. Mr. Snowden is on a flight bound for Moscow, from where it's thought he might fly to another country, such as Cuba or Venezuela. The organisation WikiLeaks says it's helping him to gain political asylum in a democratic country. The Chancellor, George Osborne, has said he believes the British economy is now out of intensive care. Speaking ahead of his spending review this week, he also said civilian jobs would go at the Ministry of Defence, but there would be no further reduction in the number of service personnel. The Pakistani Taliban has claimed that it killed 9 foreigners in retaliation for the death of one of its senior commanders in a drone attack. The tourists were killed by gunmen at a base camp at one of the world's highest mountains, Nanga Parbat, in Pakistan-administered Kashmir. Rescue efforts in northern India, where thousands of people have been stranded by flooding, are being hampered by bad weather. It's feared that up to 1,000 people have died after roads, bridges and entire villages were washed away in floods caused by early monsoon rains. Labour's former Health Secretary Andy Burnham has rejected suggestions by a Conservative MP that he asked England's health regulator to tone down its criticism of hospitals in early 2010. Last week, a damning report accused the Care Quality Commission of covering up its failure to investigate properly the deaths of several babies at Furness General Hospital. Bomb disposal experts have been examining a suspicious item which was found in the grounds of a mosque in the West Midlands. 40 homes around the building in Walsall were evacuated. And the weather, it'll be a generally rather cloudy, cool and breezy day with blustery showers. These showers will be locally thundery in northeast Britain, while longer periods of rain are likely over northern Scotland. BBC News and Weather at 1:04.
David, thank you very much. We continue our series of programmes this afternoon that come under the banner of Britain 100. Paul Spicer will be here to introduce a personal journey through Benjamin Britten's choral music in this week's edition of The Choir. And you can hear a complete performance in that programme of an early piece by Britten for children's voices and piano, Friday afternoons. That's this afternoon at 5. And there's more choral music, by the way, at 4 this afternoon. A chance to hear the choral evensong service we broadcast live on Radio 3 earlier in the week, which came from St Paul's Cathedral in London. But now it's time for the early music show. And today, Lucy Skeeping is in the Church of St Mary's, Bathwick.
Today's programme comes from the 2013 Bath Festival, and I'm here with one of the featured artists at this year's festival, the Baroque Ensemble Florilegium. Not only have they been giving a series of concerts and workshops here, but they've also just given the first official performances of the two winning entries of the 2013 National Centre for Early Music Composers Award, a competition given in partnership with BBC Radio 3 and designed to encourage young composers to write new works for period instruments. and you'll be able to hear those winning entries alongside the other items in Florilegium's Concert from Bath in this programme. We start with some pieces by Jean-Marie Leclerc. He produced several books of chamber music, including his two Recreations, which contained easy-to-play pieces that sort of blended the lyrical Italian style with the French appetite for short dance movements. So here's the Overture and the Forlan from the second book.
Thank you.
The Overture and Forlan from the Deuxième Récréation by Leclerc, written in 1737 and performed there by Florilegium. It's time to say hello to the members of the group who are gathered around me. Co-founder and the group's flautist and recorder player, Ashley Solomon. Violinist and viola d'amore player, Boyan Cicic. Cellist Jennifer Morshes and the harpsichordist Terence Charleston. I wonder why dance has proved such an important feature of Baroque instrumental music.
Louis XIV is seen as a big figure because in his desire to make Versailles a centre of culture in Europe, he also created not just a musical style but the importance of dance that spread throughout the whole Europe. Even before him, people like Henry VIII were known to enjoy food, hunt, and dance in equal measure. So it was really seen as something that each aristocratic persona had to do and had to know. But in Louis XIV's time, it reached another level of sophistication.
As players, then, does that mean that you have to be quite sort of aware of the details of the dancing? I'm not sure whether you have to actually know how to dance them, but it must be quite an important part to understand each dancer's character and make sure it's retained.
The most important thing is that you understand how the actual structure of the bar works, where the important beats are and where the weak beats are. The more sophisticated styles, which Boyan was talking about, would not necessarily have been danced. They were more for the chamber musician to perform and for people to appreciate the reference to the dance. We think of Bach's Amazing Suites. I don't really think that they're meant to be danced. The tempos would be wrong, for example. There are too many notes. So the sophisticated style is referential to physical movement and social interaction, but it's not necessarily meant to be that thing.
Well, the next two movements we're going to hear from Leclerc's suite are Sarabande and a Minuet. What can you tell us about these?
Well, they are typical of a suite of dances, Sarabande having the stronger second beat. And I was told once that the tempo of a Sarabande was the tempo in which Louis XIV walked down, and his, not a medallion, but whatever, what he was wearing around his neck, that how that hit against his chest was the tempo of a Sarabande. Now, that might be apocryphal, but I'm not sure.
I think it's a perfect image.
But it's a nice image, and that's what it's a nice thing to think of for the Sarabande, the stateliness, the gravement sometimes of it. And then the Minuet, it's a short dance. It's quite regular, two-bar, four-bar phrase, and we have that all the way into Haydn, Mozart, and etc.
Thank you. Two more dance-inspired pieces by Jean-Marie Leclerc from his second Recreation de Musique of around 1737. That was a saraband and minuet, and they were played by Florilly Jim, who are with me now. Well, before we move on to the specially composed music for our competition, the final three movements from that same suite by Leclerc, and this time the two outer dances at least are perhaps not so familiar. There's a badinage, a chaconne in the middle, and a tambourin to finish. Are these still court dances, or are they for the country folk?
Well, this is where there's a sort of lovely crossover, really, of court and, ordinary life or lower social circles, in the way that courts liked to imitate life outside themselves, or they liked to imitate the countryside and so forth, when in fact they were living a rather urban existence. The references to a piece, Tambourin, which is about the beating of a tambourine, or the badinage, which is the idea of quick, rapid conversation and a sort of chitter-chatter as sort of elements which bring a refreshment to the more serious or the standardised dances which tend to occur towards the beginning of the suite, the instrumental suite.
Thank you.
three final dance movements from Leclerc's suite, Badinage, the Chaconne and the lively Tambourin. The performers all through today's programme from the Bath Festival are Florilegium, Ashley Solomon, Boyan Cicic, Jennifer Morshes and the keyboard player Terence Charleston. And so we come to our competition, the National Centre for Early Music Young Composers Award of 2013, presented in partnership with BBC Radio 3. And this year, I'm delighted to say, with Florilegium. Now, we invited young composers in two age categories, 18 and under and 19 to 25, to write a short dance specially for Florilegium and their wonderful array of period instruments. I'm pleased to say we had a fantastic response this year and some really exciting new pieces. Actually, it's an interesting idea, isn't it? This business of composing new music to be played on old instruments. I mean, what attracted you and the group to this competition?
It's quite unusual for a group like Florilegium to have new works written for them. I think individually as instrumentalists, we can play contemporary music as a recorder player. There are many pieces written for the recorder since 1960. But as an ensemble who specialise in Baroque chamber music, to have an open forum, really, which is what we have created with this, taking part in the competition this year, the structure that we put in place for the competition was to encourage young composers to compose and convey their idea of dance. So we didn't set any parameters. We certainly gave them indications of the limitations and special effects that can be created on our instruments. So we were hoping they weren't going to simply take a Baroque dance that we're used to playing, but take their impression of what dance meant to them and compose a piece of up to 4 minutes long for a combination for the four of us, because we gave them the option that they could write, for me, flute or recorder. Boyan offered violin or viola d'amore. Jennifer has cello and piccolo cello. And we also offered for Terence harpsichord or chamber organ. Not encouraging them to write for those eight instruments in one piece, but they would make a choice and write a quartet that hopefully we could perform for the winning compositions, not just for this concert here, but in future as well. It was fascinating to see how many of the composers really got to understand our instruments. And I think that was one of the interesting things we discovered in the day when we were selecting the finalists. There were some exceptional compositions written, but they would have worked very well on modern instruments. So I think we had to remove quite a few of the compositions simply because they wouldn't work on our instruments.
Well, let's meet our first winner. The 18 and under category was won by Lily Vadeneau, our youngest ever winner, in fact, and her piece was Sarabande.
My name is Lily Vadeneau and I come from London. I study music at Guildhall School of Music in London, composition with Paul Whitmarsh and piano with Stephen Coombs. Well, when I was looking at the instruments, I imagined that I would write a slow dance. Well, I listened to some of Florilegium's recordings. I think the instrument that really captured my imagination was the viola d'amore, mostly, because I really found it interesting how it had a second set of strings that resonated, and I wanted to write a piece that used that resonating sound. I think by working with Florilegium, I've sort of understood how the Baroque instruments work better.
Lily Vadeneau, winner of the 18 and under category for the National Centre for Early Music Composers Award 2013. So, Terence, what was it that you liked about this piece so much?
I thought it was a splendid piece of lyrical writing. It uses tonal harmony in a way which is referential to other traditions, and yet in a very fresh and sincere way. And I found it very, very attractive, beautifully fitting, I'm sure my colleagues would agree, to the very specialised instruments of the piccolo, cello and the viola d'amore, using beautiful colours, and also for me on the harpsichord to have the buff stop, which sort of imitates a lute.
I think we imagined we could play it many, many times in the future as part of our repertoire.
Saraband in F-sharp, the piece by young composer Lily Vadeneau that won the award in the 18 and under category of this year's National Centre for Early Music Composers Competition. Boyan, the piece seemed to sit so well with Florilegium's style and lineup. I mean, were you surprised by the level of competence from these young composers when they came to writing for the old instruments?
What struck me particularly, I wasn't sure how well the pieces that were written for Viola d'Amore are going to work, because it was an instrument that, not entirely, but always on a sort of out of limelight. Vivaldi, Bieber, Louis Spohr, well into the 19th century, all played the instrument. But for somebody at the beginning of the 21st century to understand the problems which this instrument possesses, and that's mostly the range and the fact that it's tuned in a particular chord, either D major, D minor, whichever one we chose. And there isn't many possibilities for modulations once you're in it. I'm surprised how well the music written for it was sitting for the instrument idiomatically.
It must have felt sometimes, I expect, rather like a completely new palette for these young composers. I mean, I guess you must have found some common mistakes, perhaps that tell you something about the character of the instruments and how they approach them. I mean, I expect many of them were thinking in terms of modern instruments like the piano. They just yes. couldn't help it.
Well, they had triple forte written down several times.
For harpsichord.
For all of us, yeah. And that was just impossible. Or I found there were a couple composers who asked me to stamp my foot, which I can't do while holding the cello without a spike. So they had me tap the cello instead, but it was something they probably hadn't occurred to them.
You're listening to the Early Music Show here on BBC Radio 3 with me, Lucy Skeeping, and I'm at the Bath Festival with the ensemble Florilegium, who are our performers all through today's programme. And so to the 19 to 25 category, the winning entry from this year's National Centre for Early Music Composers Award.
This piece has, looking at it from the keyboardist's perspective, my perspective, it uses a technique of repetition of notes for a two-manual harpsichord, so you can play the same note, C, middle C, on one keyboard and on the other. And this gives a continuous rhythmic drive to the piece, which is unusual. You wouldn't find this in any Brock piece that I can think of. Possibly you'd find it in Ligeti's Continuum, but it's a very unusual style of performance. And behind all the repetitions that I have to play lies the essential character, really well caught, I think, of the saraband, which is an emphasis on the second beat of the bar. So it begins and ends with the characteristic saraband rhythm. And then in the middle of the piece, it kind of goes a bit more modern, and we lose the Baroque reference to the second beat, but the second beat emphasis returns at the very end. So it's like it grows out into a different piece, and then it returns almost historically, as it were, back to where it began.
Well, the piece is called Move, and it's by Joseph Howard.
My name's Joseph Howard. I'm originally from York, and I'm currently studying music at the University of Birmingham. Well, it was a very interesting challenge to write for early instruments. I used to play harpsichord myself, so I was aware of that, but particularly the strings and the recorder was very interesting for me. The initial idea was always to do a fusion of an older dance, so it was the saraband originally from the Baroque suite, and a more modern dance, the salsa. Interestingly enough, the saraband originated in Latin America, where, of course, salsa is from. That was one of the modern inputs into the piece, but the other key one, was a concert given by Steve Reich in Birmingham, just shortly before the deadline for the composition competition, and that really influenced the work. I wanted the rhythm to be a key part of the piece.
Thank you. Joseph Howard's piece entitled Move, the winning entry in the 19 to 25 age group in the 2013 National Centre for Early Music Composers Award, and the Players of Florilegium, directed by Ashley Solomon. It is certainly fascinating to hear this mix of new music and old instruments. Ashley, do you think that Baroque instruments and period playing styles and techniques have a role to play outside of early music, or is this a bit of an annual gimmick?
I don't think it's a gimmick at all. I think with compositions that have been written specifically for this competition, there are great pieces that we plan to perform more often. I think they sit very well on our instruments. I think they show different colour and perspective in performance. They sit very well amongst the Baroque pieces that we've played. So I don't think it's a gimmick as such, and I'd like to think that my colleagues will agree that these pieces we will take into our repertoire and perform more often.
So people coming to an early music concert might get a little surprise from time to time.
They might for an encore, yeah, why not?
Why not? Well, we're going to end today's programme with your final item from your concert here in Bath. Music by Jean Ferry, Rebelle, Les Caractères de la Danse. My thanks to the members of Florilegium here in Bath for chatting to me as well as performing. And thanks to the National Centre for Early Music, to the Bath International Festival, and to this lovely church, St Mary's in Bathwick.
Les Caractères de la Danse by Jean Ferré-Rabel, performed at the Bath International Music Festival by Florilegium. Today's Early Music Show was presented by Lucy Skeeping, and the programme was produced in Salford by Chris Wines. Well, stay with us on Radio 3. We're off to the Aldborough Festival in just a moment. But first, a look ahead to tonight by a look back to last time.
And the BBC Cardiff Singer of the World 2011 is Valentina Napolitano.
Absolutely dumbstruck. I could see her saying, "What? Who? Me?" Yes, indeed. Valentina Napolitano is the 2011 BBC Cardiff Singer of the World.
Who'll follow in her footsteps?
She's just been presented with the trophy by Dame Kirita Kanua.
The 2013 BBC Cardiff Singer of the World competition. Coverage on BBC Radio 3 across the week, culminating with the final itself. Tonight, live on BBC Radio 3 at 7:30.
And that's preceded by this week's edition of Words and Music. The theme is temptation. Emma Fielding and Tom Goodman Hill read poetry and prose on the theme of temptation. Works by Marlowe, Christina Rossetti, Yeats, Tony Harrison and Margaret Atwood. And there's music too by Gounod, Penderecki, Humperdinck and Birtwistle. Words and Music, temptation at 6:30 tonight. But next this afternoon, our Sunday concert, which was given yesterday evening at the Aldborough Festival. It's presented by Louise Fryer.
Last year, the Aldborough Festival was celebrating the 60th birthday of its artist-in-residence, Oliver Nusson, with a double bill of his acclaimed operas Higgledy Piggledy Pop and Where the Wild Things Are. And Oliver Nusson is back at Snape to pay tribute to the festival's founder, Benjamin Britten, in Britten's centenary year. In this concert with the Birmingham Contemporary Music Group, he'll conduct a suite that he compiled along with Colin Matthews from Britten's The Sword in the Stone. 2013 is also Lutosławski's centenary, and the concert ends with his Je Venetien. In between, the concert commemorates two composers who died last year. Hans Werner Henze will hear his ballet score L'Usignolo del Imperatore, The Emperor's Nightingale, and Elliot Carter, Dialogues of 2003 that Radio 3 commissioned from the veteran American composer, and its follow-up, Dialogues 2, composed to celebrate Daniel Barenboim's 70th birthday. Pierre-Laurent Aimard is the pianist. And there's also a world premiere of The Red House by Magnus Lindberg, the final piece in what he's titled his Aldborough Trilogy. It's a co-commission from the Britain Peers Foundation and the Royal Philharmonic Society, who are also celebrating an anniversary, the bicentenary of their founding. So a huge and rich variety of music to come, starting with The Sword in the Stone, music Britten wrote in 1939 for a radio serialisation of the tale of the young King Arthur by T.H. White. It's scored for three woodwinds, trumpet, trombone, harp and percussion, and has something of interest for all ages. After the introduction and boys' tunes, that's young Arthur and his foster brother Kay, there's Merlin's tune and tree music. The wizard is a bit of an old stick in the mud, but still effective at casting a spell. After the witch tune comes bird music, Britten raiding Beethoven, Richard Strauss and Delius, among others, before a lullaby, water theme and end music, as the young Arthur is united with the sword Excalibur. And that applause is for Oliver Nusson coming to the front of the platform here at Snape Walton's Concert Hall to conduct members of the Birmingham Contemporary Music Group in the concert suite that he compiled with Colin Matthews in 1983 from Britten's The Sword in the Stone.
Thank you. Thank you.